This is the Intrepid 77 Podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Intrepid 77 Podcast. I hope you are all doing well. Today we're going to be talking about Spectre, and it is that time again. It's That's What She Said. So me and the wife sat down a couple weeks ago now and watched Spectre together. And her first comment was, it's a movie that we don't often watch. And it's true, I tend to go back and watch either Skyfall or Casino Royale or GoldenEye more often than I'll come back to Spectre. And it's not because I didn't like Spectre. I actually am one of those who really enjoyed the movie Spectre. And there are quite a few of you out there, from what I understand. Spectre gets kind of a bad rap for some of the things that happened within the movie. The whole retconning of some of the former actions that were now carried out by Spectre. The whole use of the name Spectre. The origins of... The whole origin story for Blofeld was kind of... let's say, a bit flawed. So while I do have some reservations about the movie itself and some of the plot points, overall, I do think it's a good Bond movie. We see multiple different locations. We see subplots and main plots, and they all kind of mesh together really well. And we see a lot of character development from other people. But that's not what this show is about. This show is about what Double A Wife thinks. So here we go. I'm doing this really in chronological order, as I took some pretty good notes. If you notice from her Instagram account, the notes are completely illegible, and that's kind of a safeguard against, you know, enemy agents, but also makes it really difficult for me later on to come back and read my own stuff. But anyway, I'm pretty sure I can get through it. So we're starting off at the beginning of the movie, of course. This is where we have the scene from Mexico City at the Day of the Dead festival. And good little side note, this festival really isn't really popular in Mexico City itself, from what I understand. This is something that they started doing more big since the movie. And it was a whole controversy around doing the movie in Mexico and taking some of the tax benefits and things like that from doing it in Mexico. But I just think it's one of those things where... I think it's one of those things that's not talked about in other situations, but in this situation, I think they made too much of a deal out of it. Anyway, so her first comment is about Stephanie Sigmund, who plays the unknown and unnamed character in the pre-title sequences. So she asks, where did they find her? Like, what's her backstory? She's very pretty. Is she like an agent? She's less in your face than in the other movies. And that's true. This is one of those rare times where we have a Bond girl in the pre-title sequence. I can't think of one from the Bond era where it's a Bond girl. I mean, Skyfall has Moneypenny, but she wasn't really a Bond girl. She was, you know, an active part of the mission. So this is the first time we really see a Bond girl kind of being like in classic Bond opening sequences. I can think back to Timothy Dalton, where there's a couple of them in there. Sean Connery. So there's always kind of like, you know, the pre-title sequence sometimes is very related to the plot, sometimes it isn't. And in this case, we kind of had this disposable Bond girl, which I thought worked out great. I mean, it was kind of the lead into this kind of covert mission that he was having on his own. And then so when we're watching the whole scene, she asks, is that there that many people in Mexico City? And I think there's a lot of people who don't understand the how big Mexico City actually is. I didn't think it was that big of a city. I didn't think it was that big of a major metropolis, but it really is. There's millions and millions of people in Mexico City itself. I think maybe our idea of Mexico was kind of that it's, you know, not necessarily an impoverished nation, but it's not necessarily a very industrial or a very large nation. Then we get to the theme song, which I think is another point of contention for a lot of Bond fans that we did not enjoy. that's for my personal stake. I mean, maybe some people enjoyed the Sam Smith performance. I really didn't. My wife didn't either. She thinks it should have been sung by a woman. She thinks that a lot of the theme songs are better sung by women. And I think she has a point. I think there are some songs that benefit from having a male voice. I think of Thunderball, and I think of Live and Let Die, and I think of Casino Royale. But for the rest, I think that some of the stronger performances have come from female vocalists. So why break with tradition necessarily? I think the Daniel Craig era films have really had kind of a bad go when it comes to theme songs. No Time to Die is a kind of a was at first an odd choice, and it is kind of a weird song. I think we have to kind of see it in the context of the movie to really begin to feel it. But in this situation, in this song, and the other ones that were proposed, really didn't mesh super great either. So let's just leave it at that and move on. She thinks that Q, the way that it was updated, was a nice way of going. They kind of went the opposite spectrum of what they had been doing before. They always made Q Bond senior, and now they've made him much his junior. So it's kind of fitting that he's younger, and kind of, you know, the kind of opposite relationship to Bond that we had with the former Q, Desmond Llewellyn, back in the old days. It kind of updates the role of Q as well quite a bit, because it brings him more into the future and more into technology, which I think is great as well. Now, something that we can all agree on, Monica Bellucci looks amazing in this movie. For a 50-some-odd-year-old actress, she is really quite an attractive lady. I think that's everyone's opinion. It's my wife's opinion. It's my opinion. It's an awkward scene, I think, for some of it, because her acting is kind of very cold and stiff. So my wife actually does like the scene where she's comes back to the house, and she's walking through her house out to the yard, and she puts on the music, and she pours herself a drink, and she goes out into the yard, and the two guys come out to kill her, and we hear the two gunshots, and, you know, Bond walks up behind her. That whole shot is really, really great. She likes that scene as well, but cinematically, it's just super well shot. Sam Mendes has kind of this art house look to some of his movies, and you wouldn't think it would work well for an action movie, but for some of those more dramatic dramatic scenes, it does work out quite nicely. So now we know where Spectre is holding their next meeting. They're at the Palazzo. Bond gets there in the gorgeous Aston Martin DB10, and he goes looking for the Spectre organization. He doesn't know they're Spectre. He just goes following the meeting that Lucia tells him is going on. So he shows up there, and the thing that strikes my wife the most is Batista's character, Hinks, who has these really grotesque fingernails. She doesn't like that scene at all. But, you know, you can see that there's kind of a theme going from Skyfall to this one. It's about fingernails. Where does he get his nails done? Is her comment there. It's glued on. That's what you call nail extensions. And I've written this in all caps because she was quite upset about it. The nail extensions were a little much. We don't really get much in, you know, I think a close up there would have helped. I mean, if they're steel or something, kind of like a Jaws thing going on, I think we kind of needed to be put in context. Cause it basically just looks like he's gotten some of that 007 nail polish that Opie put out a couple of years ago, and he's just let his thumb nails grow out. So I think that needed to be explained a little bit better. So when we get to Altasi, now, you know, we've got some more comedy in here because, I mean, this is a great scene. He tracks down Mr. White, who's hiding out in Altasi. He's been poisoned. He's dying. But, so when he gets into the house, she first thinks of when she opens that door, first of all, she thinks the hidden door thing is really cool, and we are discussing putting one in her home. But she thinks, she's wondering, is, do you think there's a bathroom down there? I mean, there's crows upstairs. Yeah, the upstairs is pretty decrepit. We're assuming that he spends most of his time downstairs. I believe that he's using the old bucket method, but possibly he's got a urinal or something. He's got, might have a good setup down there. Who knows? So when the inevitable scene happens, when they get back upstairs and they're talking at the chessboard, he brings out the ring and etc. When he shoots himself in the head, her comment here is, I like how he turns his head. And she's talking about Bond. It's not like he's never seen dead people. It's true, but I think that he doesn't necessarily want to see the gruesomeness of what's going on. He is kind of watching a guy shoot himself in the head. So, might want to avoid that. In the whole rest of the scene, after that, he gets to find Madeline Swann, who is Mr. White's daughter. They've got to go to L'Américain to find Oberhauser. So when she finds Swann and rescues her from Hinks and etc., her comment there is she's way too calm. And now that is either bad acting or it's part of her character. We learn later on that she's kind of pretty cold-hearted in regards to handling weapons and death and etc. So possibly it's just her being overly calm. Now they get to L'Américain, which is a hotel in the middle of Tangier. And when they get to the hotel room, one of the kind of odd things that doesn't really make sense to... I mean, it's cool, but it doesn't really make practical sense, is how did he make a secret room in a hotel? I mean, maybe he paid someone off to have that room created, etc. But, I mean, how did he build a secret room in a hotel? That's kind of crazy. So she falls asleep in a dress and then wakes up in a negligee, a sexy negligee that I've written down here. I mean, she's attractive. I mean, it is a sexy negligee, but you don't see her change. She's kind of mumbling to herself. She's obviously drunk and passes out. We assume that she kind of got up and changed at one point, but it is kind of a little continuity thing. It's not as bad as the end of Casino going into the beginning of Quantum when the suits are completely different. But it is kind of a weird little slip there. So when we get onto the train on the way to the big hole in the middle of the desert, she has a comment in regards to the martini. Now she orders it vodka dirty, which is kind of Bond's signature, which it really... That's kind of a controversial thing, because at the Casino Royale, he's drinking the gin martinis, the Vesper is heavily gin-based, and then he switches to the vodka martini shaken, not stirred, which was mostly a marketing thing, because a lot of the sponsors of the Bond movies at the time were vodka companies, such as Stolichna, Smirnoff, etc. So she orders the vodka martini dirty, and I believe Belvedere has been a sponsor of Bond as of late. Great vodka, by the way. Thanks, Edgar and Matt. But my wife's opinion, and mine as well, is she doesn't know shit. It's gin. But I like how she orders it. And a gin martini, in my opinion, is much better than a vodka martini. And you can hate on me all you want, but I do prefer gin martinis to vodka martinis, and so does my wife. So now from there, there's kind of some... it's an interesting movie from here on in. There's the torture scene. Neither one of us like that. I think it's a great scene. Matt O'Clair, had pointed out that it is, mostly inspired from Colonel Sun, and I forgot that there was quite a traumatizing scene in that movie, in that book, with torture. So this is kind of an inspiration from that. Kind of creeped her out. She doesn't like needles and things like that, so that really didn't go over well. The end of the movie, I think it ties up all of those kind of loose ends. We take Blofeld into custody, which opens it up for another movie, which we kind of hint at that he's going to be in No Time to Die. He kind of drives off into the sunset with Swan. Don't want to get too much into what we see in the trailers for No Time to Die, but what her concern is, and what she said to me was, what I'm afraid of in the next movie is that he's too in love, which is a legitimate concern. It could happen that he's too much in love with her. It's a possibility. I won't discuss what I think of about that directly because of the trailers, because the trailers kind of seem to go another way, but we'll leave that for a few months from now when the movie actually comes out. So there you have it. Spectre, as reviewed by Double A Wife. That's what she said, and we'll see you next time. Thank you. And thanks for listening. You can find me on Instagram at 007_intrepid, the same for Facebook. And you can also find us on YouTube at TheIntrepid77. See you next time. Music by Incomptech. Copyright The Intrepid 77 Podcast.